Okay, William, here it is. Another week, another chapter of the Solar Hat. And this week's story is called Robot Recovery. If you remember, in my last chapter, Tony Onesto had been forced to bring Squeaky Toy Robot up to the R&D department of N2RT, the Nippon Neuro Robotic Technologies, because he had been stolen by the three ninja yakuza that were working for Dr. Kusumono. And then they stole him, and they brought him into the warehouse, and then they laughed and laughed and laughed and made fun of Tony, and then he had to carry Squeaky Toy up. And the way up, he peeked into the suitcase, and he found it was indeed Squeaky Toy. So he called Kashi Koi, and Kashi said, "You know what? We have to tell Dr. Talltale." So they drove out to Carnatoon, and there they found Dr. Talltale, Timothy Tyler Taylor Talltale, sitting with none other than Mr. Ningyoshi-san, the robot's maker. And they came in, they explained how they'd seen the little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, and he was it, N2RT, and they brought him up to the R&D lab. And this was the worst news that Mr. Ningyoshi could hear, because the R&D lab was really where they reverse-engineered robots. But he knew, he knew that if Squeaky Toy, if they tried to take his little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot apart, Squeaky Toy would self-demolish. He'd self-immolate. All of his memory cards would be burned out. All of his capacitors would be blown out. All of his chips would be melted. When they opened them up, there would be nothing to find but melted metal parts. That was terrible. That was terrible. This is his Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. So Mr. Nikiyoshi-san looked at Tony and said, you have to turn him on. Well, what followed was a very intense session. Of course, Tony didn't really want to do it, and Kashi Koi really didn't want to do it. But then Kashi said, "You know, we need to help him out, because this is Mr. Ningyoshi-san, and it is his robot, and we did steal it, and I think we need to do it." So they did. And Mr. Ningyoshi-san sat down with Tony, and he explained to them very carefully how he had to turn on Squeaky Toy. Well, his little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot was built with fail-safes, with backups, with cyberspace. So Mr. Nikiyoshi-san knew that if Hidoi-san, the ninja yakuza, had used a robo-taser on him, it probably fried out some of the circuits up front, and then he turned off, because when Ayatsuri Ningyo robot was designed, if he got an electrical overload, he would just shut off. And normally, he's never shut off, because inside there was a small electricity working that would allow you to turn him back on. But if he was shocked all the way down so that nothing was on, then he had to turn him on one way to turn on the internal electrics, and then he turned him on a second way. So he had to show Tony all about it. So he sat down and he explained Squeaky Toy's head. He said, "Pull back his hair. You'll find the little nodes where his solar hat's supposed to go. And then you press them in this sequence." And he started explaining the sequence. Oh my goodness, William. This was not an easy one to do. You had to memorize, because you had to push one node twice and then another node three times really fast. And then hold down the first node and then go back to another node and hit that seven times. And it was like, what? And then Mr. Nikiyoshi-san said, "If he doesn't turn on because of this, then you have to do this." And he showed him another sequence. Oh my goodness. It wasn't like pressing a button. It was a whole cryptid sequence so that nobody could know how to turn on Squeaky Toy Robot unless he was trained. And that was the idea. And so Tony sat there, and he sat there for an hour and a half, trying to understand it, trying to memorize, and said, "Can I draw this? Can I write this down?" And Mr. Nikiyoshi said, "No, you will put it in your head. That's where it belongs, only your brain." Well, at that time, during that time, Timmy Tommy Toby came home, and if you remember, Timmy Tommy Toby got into a lot of trouble for lying, which is what every little boy should get into, trouble for lying. And they said, "Well, you're going to be punished." But they couldn't figure out, Dr. Talltale couldn't figure out a correct punishment for him, and his mother couldn't quite figure out the correct punishment for him, and Mr. Ninkyoshi-san wanted to get a bamboo stick and start beating him on the bottom, but they wouldn't let him do that. He said, "That's what we do in Japan." No, you're not going to beat my little boy with a bamboo stick. We'll think of what to do. Meanwhile, Dr. Tara Tomorrow Tool Talltale looked at him. His mother said, "Meanwhile, 3T, you will go clean your room right now. You will then clean your sister's room. Then you will do your homework, and you will do your sister's homework. And there's no basketball for a month." Oh, 3T was like, "What? What? Oh, what? What? Oh, what?" But he had to do it. Had to go clean his room. Then he had to clean his sister's room. Oh, Tabby Terry Tanya liked that. "Yes, indeedy," she said. "Oh, no, no, that doll doesn't belong there. The doll belongs over there." He had to set up all her dolls. Oh, it was terrible, but that's not part of the story. Well, then finally, Tony and Kashi said, "We got to go. We got to get there before they close down, before they shut down, because we don't know what they've done already." And Kashi said, "Oh, I don't think so. They're pretty lazy. They won't get to anything unless they come in the morning and have a cup of tea and look at it and look over what they're supposed to do. And then about lunchtime, they say, well, we better get started. And then they'll start, and then it'll be time for tea again. Don't you worry." Tony said, "I don't know. I don't know. This is bad. We got to go." So the two of them went out the door and took off in Kashi Koe's car. And Kashi, of course, had a brand new Toyota electric mobile, and it could go fast, and he did go fast. He hit the electrical juice, and zoom, it was off like a flash. Well, Dr. Talltale looked at Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, and he said, "Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. I think that young lad, Tony, is a very good kid. I think he's a really sincere lad, but I don't think he can remember the sequence. That's a pretty complicated sequence, and it didn't look like he was following it too well. What happens if he hits the wrong sequence?" Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, "Well, if he hits the wrong sequence, then Squeaky Toy will melt down." "Oh, you can't have that happen. What if he does?" Mr. Nigiyoshi-san looked at Dr. Talltale, and he looked at Dr. O'Toole Talltale, and he just smiled. And he said, "Well, Tony might be pressing the buttons, but it's that lad, Kashi Koe, who's going to remember the sequence." They both looked at him and said, "Who? Kashi Koe?" Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, "Yes, yes, yes, Kashi. Kashi's a sweet young man. He's a very smart young man, and he paid attention. I noticed. He not only paid attention, he memorized what I was doing. Whereas Tony kept looking and saying, well, what, how many of that?" And tried to think, to count on his fingers, and he might be able to do a lot of work, and he's a good guy, but Takashi's going to remember it. Don't you worry. And then he looked at Dr. Talltale, both Dr. Talltales, and he said, "Because Kashi, well, Kashi is a true Kamakura. And Kashi is the son of Mr. Kamakura-san's sister. And she was a Kamakura, and she married a wealthy, wealthy industrialist. And then she had Kashi, and they sent Kashi here because Mr. Kamakura's company, which was Kamakura Cybernetics, was bought by Kusumono-san, by Nipponura Robotics. And they bought a bunch of shares, and they owned the company. And Mr. Kamakura could do nothing about it, even though he built the company from scratch, from nothing. And he and Tony's father had worked on it in Japan for 20 years. And then they finally got the whole Kamakura Cybernetics up and running, and it was going well, and it was making money, and they had expanded to Cascadia, and they were in San Diego, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, came Nipponura Robotics, and they bought so much stock that they owned the company, and they decided that they were going to move some of the production company of Kamakura Cybernetics to RedSoft in Cascadia, and as a way of saying don't have any hurt feelings, they let Mr. Kamakura be the regional director of his own company. So he came here to Cascadia because he knew he was too young to retire, and he still wanted to make sure that his company worked and that Kamakura Cybernetics was going well. Well, that wasn't quite good enough for Shujiki-san. So Shujiki-san sent his son, Kashi Koe, to come here and work in the marketing department, if you will, and keep an eye on activities, because they didn't quite trust Mr. Kusumono-san. So that's why Kashi Koe's here. And Kashi Koe is the son of a samurai. Oh, he is a true samurai boy. Tall Tales looked at Mr. Nikiyoshi-san and said, "Come on, there aren't any samurais left. Samurais died out in the 1800s. After Commodore Perry went to Tokyo and he opened up Japan, and the samurais became businessmen." Mr. Nikiyoshi-san had a twinkle in his eye. He said, "Yes, that's right. The samurai did become businessmen, but they still remain samurai. And samurai live by honor. And so that young man, Kashikoi, has all the honor of a samurai. And I expect him to come through." Well, that was that. And Timmy Tommy Toby was upstairs whining and complaining, "I don't want to do my sister's room to clean it up. Why do I have to?" And Dr. O'Toole Talltale just called up the stairs and said, "And do her homework too." Oh, this was bad. And so they all sat down for dinner. And Mr. Nikiyoshi-san said, "I hope they come through because I'd hate to lose my Ayatsuri Ningyo robot." And Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale said, yes, we'll have to follow up and see what happens tomorrow." Well, meanwhile, Kashikoi and Tony are both screaming down the road in his Toyota electric roadster. They're screaming down the road. They were going a little faster than maybe they had to go, but Kashikoi wanted to get there. He wanted to get that robot done. Tony wanted to get that robot done. They were going to go as fast as they could. They were screaming down the road, and Kashi looked in his rearview mirror, and what did he see? Uh-oh. He saw a police car. And that police car wasn't just a police car. It had its lights on. And its lights were going. Blue, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. And it was right behind them. Red, blue, red, blue. And Kashi said, "We have a police car behind us. Maybe we should slow down." Tony looked back and he said, "Maybe you should pull over." So he did. He pulled over. He pulled over and got out his, reached into his glove compartment and got out his license and his registration and everything else like that. And he rolled down his window. And who should walk up but Darius Dangerfish? Darius Dangerfish looked into the car and said, Oh, well, young man, why are you going so fast and where are you headed? And look, and he reached over, looked over the top of the car, and there on the other side window was Cornelius Whitefish. Cornelius looked in and said, "Hey, here are our friends from the chili truck. Why, you haven't learned to drive yet, have you? Or maybe you have. You're going kind of fast, young man." Kashikoi just looked up both cops and he said, Wait, I can explain. This is not fair. I can explain." And Darius Dangerfish looked at him and said, "Well, yes, you should explain because you were going very fast. We clocked you at..." And Cornelius Whitefish said, yes, and this is a slow road out here in the country. I think you need to explain us why we don't give you a massive speeding ticket." So Kashikoi said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I've just come from the house of Dr. Timothy Tyler Taylor Talltale, and he's there with Mr. Takumi Ningyoshi-san, and Mr. Ningyoshi-san says that his Ayatsuri Ningyo robot has been stolen." Well, that stopped Darius and Cornelius. They both looked up over the top of the car. Darius said, second report in just as many days. And Cornelius said, this is something we should look into. Oh, we know that little robot. And he leaned back down and said, "So tell us about it. What happened?" So Tony said, well, and he told him the whole story. He told him how he was working on the docks, and the ninja yakuza came up and they made him take the robot up to their R&D, and how they came flying out here to tell Dr. O'Toole Talltale and Dr. Talltale and Mr. Nikiyoshi-san, and then they were going back to try to rescue the robot. Darius Dangerfish looked down, looked at Cornelius, and he said, "Now, young man, this is not your job to rescue robots. It is our job. We are the proper police agency." He looked up at Cornelius. He said, "This is the second one. There must be something going on." He looked back at Kashikoi. He said, "Young man, you are in luck. I'm going to give you a warning because you drove too fast, but I'm not going to write you a ticket," which was good because it probably saved him $250 for paying a ticket, which is expensive. And so he wrote him a ticket, a little document that said, "You're going too fast. Next time you're going to get a big ticket." And he gave it to him and said, "Here, that's a warning. slow down. And Kashiko, he said, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he drove off very slowly and very carefully. And they got back to Redsoft. Well, they got back to Redsoft. It was getting dark. It was getting very dark. The sun was going down. Kashi said, oh, wow, we have to go in. We have to go in and get that robot. And Tony said, I don't know. Look, the warehouse is shutting down. It's after 7. They're not going to stay open. They closed the warehouse, so they locked the door, and they put out guards. We can't get in that way because my badge only works between 7 and 7 during the day. If I get in early at 7, I start working, and I can't work until I work until 7, and I leave. I can't get in there. How are we going to do this? Kashikoi said, well, I think I have another plan. And Tony said, well, what do you mean? Kashikoi said, let's go in the back way. So they did. They went in the back way. And the back way was on the other side of the building from where Tony Onesto had ever gone in. Tony always parked in the parking lot, worked in the loading docks, saw the trucks come in and out, said goodbye, had his lunch at the little eating place they had inside the warehouse, and that's what he saw. And he only went to the back when they told him to carry in junk robots or other boxes, and there was a big room in the back where he always put them and stuck them in there, and they seemed to just pile up and be hanging out with lots of junk. Junk room, he called it, the junk robot room. Ha, 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 they were so funny. Kashiko, he said, no, we'll have to use the back. And he drove around the back of the building. Well, this was a little kind of scarier because it was there was a parking lot in the back that was totally empty. There were some trees, a little bit woods in the back. It was very dark. The lights were out. Not so in the loading docks. Loading docks were big, huge lights. You could see them with the halide lights. You could see everything because they didn't want anybody coming in with the cameras. But the back, it was dark. Kashiko, he said, come on, we'll go this way. And he led him on. He parked the car real close to a door, came to the door, and he pulled out his badge. And he said, okay, you ready? And he took his badge and he swiped it through the electric reader. And the electric reader turned green, the door clicked, and he walked in. He said, let's go. And they both walked into the back end of the warehouse. There was a little room. There was a desk. It was like somebody sat there during the day if anybody came in. There was a couple of chairs, and there was a elevator. And Kashiko said, come on, let's go. And went to the elevator, and he swiped his card at the card reader in the elevator. And the door opened. Oh, wow. Tony said, what's this? And Kashiko said, this is the back entrance. This is for the people that work in R&D. Oh. They climbed in the elevator. He punched 2. The elevator went up smoothly. It wasn't junky like the one that Tony had been in. It went up and it went up to R&D, and the door opened. And there was the R&D lab. The R&D lab was all dark except for a couple of night lights. There were some lights left around that were left on in case, you know, anybody had to go in suddenly and they needed to find a light. But it was all dark. Kashiko said, we can't turn the lights on. If we do, they'll know we're here. But we have to find that robot and turn him on. And Kai and Tony said, okay, well, let's go look. And they started going through the tables in the R&D lab. Well, this was a big lab. Now, it was a big warehouse that Tony was in. And Tony never thought of what was on the second floor. He thought it was just offices or something like that. It was an entire robotics lab devoted to nothing but robotics experiments. And there was electronics, and there was mechanics, and there were all sorts of pieces and parts, and little robot heads sitting here, and robot arms, and whole robots taken apart, and lying all in pieces. It was a huge place. But they went up one row, down another row. Oh, they saw some taco robots. Well, the taco robots that Tony had been loading were kind of defective, and so they'd sent them back, and somebody said, you ought to find out why they're so defective. And so they'd taken one apart to see why it didn't work, and they were so lazy they had put it back together wrong, so of course it didn't work. So they were trying to figure out what was doing there, but he didn't need a taco robot. What did he need? They finally came to one small workspace. It was surrounded by very expensive electronics equipment. And there, lying on a table, was the little robot. He had his white white overalls on. He had his little shiny shoes, and he was lying there. He was just lying there. He was just like a lump of metal, a robot. Oh, here he is. Here he is. Look. And Tony went up to him. He looked really strange. He was not moving. His eyes were closed. Everything was wrong. And Kashiko, he said, well, we got to do him. We got to do him before anybody comes, because they'll have somebody coming through here at some point. They have guards all the time. And we might have set off one of the motion detectors when we came through the door. I don't know. I didn't hear an alarm, but you never know. It could be a silent alarm. So Tony said, okay, all right, well, okay, so what are we going to do? And he started fumbling around Ayatsuri Dinkyo Robot's head, trying to find the little buttons. And he found one, then another, and finally he had all five of them. They were all there, tucked under his hair, and you wouldn't see them if you weren't looking for them, and that's where the solar hat would set. And he said, okay, now, what am I going to do? I got to remember this. He said, all right, and he started at the very front, which was number one, and he said, I got to press this twice. And he pressed it twice. He said, then I have to go to this one. And he went to a back one. He said, now I have to press this three times real fast. 1, 2, 3. Okay. And now I got to go to this one. I got to press it. Kashiko, he said, 7 times in a row. Oh, yeah, thanks. 7 times in a row. And he pressed them 7 times in a row. And then from there, from button to button, Tony couldn't remember this stuff. He was like, what? Kashiko, he said, all right, hit that one slow and hold it for a count of 6 or 5, 6. Okay, now hit that one. And they went through the whole sequence of buttons. And they finally got to the end. And they hit the last button again, right in the very tip of his nose. And that was the button that was going to turn him on. And his eyes would open and he'd be awake. And he turned it on. Nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing. Tony said, what? What? Wait. Well, I did it right. You helped me, and it didn't work. What happened? Kashiko said, oh, no. This is worse than we thought. He must have been totally paralyzed. They must have shot him down to nothing. There's nothing happening in him. All right. We have to go to Plan B. We have to turn on the inner core first, and then we can turn the outer core on. Oh. Well, Tony said, oh. I hope you remember how to do that. Kashiko said, yes, indeed. We have to start, though, by unbuttoning his overalls and opening his shirt. And we have to find some of the buttons on his body, remember? Tony had forgotten. They had to start on his body, at his belly button, and start pushing buttons on his belly button in a sequence, and then go up to his head. Oh, that's right. And so they did. And then, following Mr. Nagiyoshi-san's instructions, Kashiko walked Tony Onesto all through the sequence of buttons he had to push. 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2. And then he finally pushed the button on Squeaky Toy's head. And there was a little... And Kashiko said, I don't know. Did we turn him on? Tony said, I don't know. I don't see his eyes opening. I don't see anything happening. He's still just lying there. Did we turn... I don't know if we turned him on. Kashiko said, well... We gotta try again. We gotta try to turn him on again. So they rolled him over and they buttoned up his overalls and his shirt and they went back to his head. Said, okay, let's try turning him on. Let's say we did turn him on inside and his internal cyber electrical juice is going on. So now, if we do the buttons, we gotta do it right. Well, just as they said that, they heard a sound. They heard a sound coming from back at the end of the lab. It was like a door opening and shutting. And then way in the distance, because it was a big lab, they saw a light flash up on the ceiling and then down. Kashiko said, Someone's here. We have to finish this. We have to hurry up. Hurry up and do this. Well, Tony was working in the dim light of a little light, and he said, well, it'd really help if I could see here better. Okay, let's go. So Kashiko said, all right, let's try again. So Tony touched a button, touched another button on his head, touched and went to the right sequence. 2, then 3, then 7. And he went all around his head, touching the buttons in the right sequence. And Kashiko said, okay, you've got it. One more thing. The button on the front of his head, push that down and hold it for a count of 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he let go. Nothing happened. All right, Serena, your robot lay there. Oh, the light was coming closer. Another flash up in the ceiling, flash on the wall. Oh, this is no good. Oh, but wow, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? But just then, the little eye at Suri Ningyo's robot's eyes opened. Boop! He looked around. Didn't say anything. Just looked around. Tony said, oh, he's on. He's awake. He's up. It's good. Can he talk? Can you talk? Can you talk? I had Suri Ningyo robot just looked at him like, huh? Oh, well, we can't leave him here. If he's on, then they're going to find him on, and that'll be worse. We can't. What are we going to do with him? We can't take him out because I can't get out the front. How are we going to get him out of here? And then Tony remembered the room. He remembered the room where he had always stuffed old robot parts. The junk room, he called it. Oh, I know where we can put him. I know a place in the warehouse we can put them. They'll never find them because it's all full of junk robot parts and nobody goes in there except, you know, when you're told to take a junk robot part in there. So let's take them there. Okay, how are we going to do that? And then Tony thought a minute. He looked up and he said, okay, we came in from the back of the building down there where the light is. And the light was getting closer. And all of a sudden they could hear some voices, two voices talking and footsteps. He said, we know that's the back of the building. If I go up here, we could get to the other side of the building, and I think I know an elevator. Well, he was going to go to the way back that he'd gone to bring up Squeaky Toy. And so Kashikoi said, well, let's get him up. So Tony grabbed little Squeaky Toy, and he put him over his back, held him over his back, and they both took off. They took off as fast as they could go, as quietly as they could go. And they could hear the light shining, and they could hear some words and voices, right? And they went as fast as they could, way, way down to the end, the far end of the R&D lab, the far end, and they ran into the wall. What are we going to do? And they went up and down, looking for a door. And just as they were at a door, they said, I think this is it. This is the right door. They heard a sound. Hey, 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 what happened to the robot? Uh-oh, they've discovered Squeaky Toy. They've discovered we've taken him. We got to go. And Tony said, okay, we're going. And he took the inside of the door and he pushed it. Well, this was the door that you had to use your badge to come in from. But since it was inside, you didn't need it to get out. It would open out, and it did. Boom, right out. And it opened out into the funky little room. And there was the elevator, and it was sitting there. And Tony ran up to it, hit the elevator a couple times. And the elevator door opened. They dashed in. They hit it to one. And they went down, 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 down to the first floor. Now they're in the warehouse. Well, it was dark in the warehouse, too. There were some night lights. There were some little lights. Lights left on in case you had to get through there. But it was dark. Fortunately, Tony knew his warehouse. And he knew where he was going. He said, Kashi, come on. We got to go. And they ran down one side, up behind some big taco robot boxes, over by some other robot boxes. And then there was this one door. And Tony said, this is it. This is my junk room. This is where they put all the junk robots. And they opened the door, and they pulled it open. And there, in this big room, it was a big room in this big warehouse, it was a room, and it was full of robots. All sorts of robots. Square robots, round robots, skinny robots, robots that were multifunction robots, you name it. It was full of robots. Okay, we got to put them somewhere. So they looked around, and they found a shelf that didn't have too much on it. And they moved some of the robots around. And then Tony found a box. Said, look, here's an empty box. Let's put him in the box. They put him in the box. And they put him up on the shelf. They said, look, unless you're looking for him, you're not going to find him here. And who's going to come down here to find a robot? This is all just junk robots. They went out, closed the door. And he said, I'll take you out the side door. We can get out. We can't get in, but we can get out. And they went out to the side door. There it was, right on the docks. And he opened the door. And Kashikoi and Tony and Nesta walked out the door onto the loading docks. They've done it. They had done it. Yay, we've done it. We've got Squeaky Toy out. We've got this little robot saved. And then Kashikoi looked at Tony and said, tomorrow, when you show up for work, you're going to have to figure out how to get that robot into your car. And we'll bring him back to Dr. Talltale and to Mr. Ninkyoshi-san. And we can do that. Well, they turned around and they were going to walk off the dock and walk around the building. They noticed that they weren't alone. No, 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 they weren't alone. There was another car right at the edge of the dock, loading dock. And it was a big gray car with lots of chrome. And out of the car stepped a man they knew, a very sullen-looking man, a very dangerous-looking man if he's not happy. And this was Imi-san. Imi-san looked up and said, "Well, well, well, who have we here? We have the losers." And he leaned down to the car and he leaned inside and he said, "Hey, hey, we got the losers here. What do you think?" And he looked up at them and said, "What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. This is after office hours. This is after everything's shut down. What are you doing here? Are you stealing stuff?" And Tony looked at him. Tony was like, "Who are you? Who are you? What do you care? I work here. I had to come in to finish up some work, and now I'm going home. So just get out of my way." Oh. At that, the back door opened, and out stepped the old guy, Hidoi-san. He leaning on a cane. And he said, Oh, you're just going home because you had work to do, huh? Huh? Because you couldn't get it done, loser? Huh? You couldn't get it done? Oh, well, I don't think so. I think you need to learn a lesson. I think you need to learn a lesson about how to be a winner." And Tony said, "I don't need any lessons from you." Akashi Koi was a little quieter because he didn't trust these guys. He knew they were ninja, and he figured they were Yakuza ninja, and he figured they weren't very happy people, and he figured they liked violence. And so he wasn't going to get involved if he didn't have to. But if he had to, well, remember what Mr. Nigiyoshi said. He was samurai through and through. Even though he was a businessman, his family was still samurai, and he had been trained in many, many ways of self-defense. And so then Tsuki-san jumped out of the side of the car and said, "Ah, ha-ha, the losers! Yeah, the losers! Oh, Imi-san, whoop them both! Whoop them both with one arm! You can do it one-handed, you can whoop them both, and then we'll just step over them when they fall off the loading dock." Imi-san said, I think I will. I think I'll go up and whoop them both." So he jumped up on the dock, and he swaggered up to Tony. He said, "So you, loser, huh, loser, you think you're tough, huh? Well, I don't think you're so tough." And without saying anything else, he reached back and he punched Tony Onesto in the stomach. Oh, Tony went, "Oh, he hadn't seen that coming." Oh, and he bent over. Oh, and Imi-san said, "One down, here's the other." And he turned around to punch Kashi Koi right in the head. Only Kashi Koi wasn't there. Imi's arm was, but Kashi Koi wasn't. Instead, Kashi Koi's hands were on Imi-san's arm. And all of a sudden, Imi-san's arm was behind his back, and it was being broken by Kashi Koi. And Kashi Koi said, "Imi-san, sumimasen, be safe, leave." And with that, he took his knee, and he pushed Imi-san, and Imi-san went staggering across the dock and almost fell off it. And he turned around and said, "You, what do you think? Well, I know how to deal with the likes of you." And you could see he was going to come back. And he was going to be even rougher and tougher. And Hidoi-san said, "Wait, Imi-san, maybe I'll come up and help you." And Tsuki-san said, yay, rumble, ah, ha, 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 rumble, rumble. They were all getting ready to rumble. When into the parking lot comes a police car with its red and blue lights going, comes driving right in, stops. Out comes Darius Dangerfish and Cornelius Whitefish. The three ninja look around and stop. Kashi Koi and Tony look around and they don't say anything. They just stop. Darius Dangerfish watch up and says, "What's going on here? What's happening?" And Tony Onesto said, "Oh, nothing. I had some work to finish here. And there are friends here on the dock. We're just talking to us about where we might want to go to dinner." And Darius Dangerfish looked at the three ninja. And he said, Do you work here? And the ninja said, "Yes, we work for Mr. Kusumono-san. Yes, we're direct employees." "Well, good. Well, I have a search warrant, to search this warehouse because we're looking for a stolen robot." The ninjas looked at the police and said, "What? A stolen robot? Us? Yes, and we're looking for a stolen robot, and we're going to search the place." "Oh, well, we don't have any keys. We have to call the guards, and we have to..." "Well, then you call the guards. Do you have a cell phone?" Yes, we do. Well, let's call the guards and tell them we are going to look through this warehouse. Oh, well, good luck, Darius Dangerfish and Cornelius Whitefish, because it's a big warehouse and there's lots of robots, and you're not going to find the robot you're looking for. But this is very good, because then Imi-san said, okay, and he called up. He was on the phone. And Hidoi-san and Tsuki-san were, like, waiting to see what would happen. And that gave Tony and Kashi just the right amount of time to slip down the side of the loading dock and around the building. And they were off. And they get into Kashi's Toyota electric car, and they said, let's go! And they roared out of there. They get out. Kashi got on his phone, and he called up Mr. Nigiyoshi-san at Dr. Tall Tales. And he said, Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, Professor Nigiyoshi-san, we have found your robot. We turned him on. He opened his eyes. We put him in a storage room where I don't think they'll find him, and we're going to try to get him out tomorrow. And Mr. Nigiyoshi-san turned around, and he looked at Dr. O'Toole Talltale. He looked at Dr. Talltale, and he went, woohoo! Which was pretty unconstrained for Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, and all three of them started hooting and hollering, yay, and slapping each other on the back, and 3T called down and said, what, they found Squeaky Toy, oh, and they're all happy, and oh, they were so happy, they were happy, 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 and Kashi and Tony drove off, and the three ninja were spent the evening with the two police, Darius Dangerfish and Cornelius Whitefish, looking through the entire robot warehouse for a stolen robot that they weren't going to find anyway. What will happen next will happen next. But I will tell you that in the next chapter, my dear William. In the meantime, you go to sleep, have a good night's sleep, give your sister a hug, give your mama and dada a hug, and know that I love you, and I'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.